Well, happy Friday, everybody. We've come to the end of another week, and I hope you are looking forward to being in worship and life groups this coming Sunday at First Baptist. Pray and pray for the services. I pray for God to give you an opportunity today and tomorrow to invite someone to come with you. And while you're opening your Bible for this morning's devotion to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I just want to remind you, share with you that on April 21, a couple of weeks down the road, that Sunday evening, we're going to be hosting for the third year in a row, One Night, which is a gathering of teenagers from all around this region. And we will have more than 1,000 teenagers in our worship center that Sunday evening to hear a gospel message. And I want you to be praying for that, because that Sunday evening, two Sunday evenings from now, we will see teenagers saved. We will see teenagers renew their walk with Jesus. We will see teenagers surrender to a call to ministry, to be a pastor, etc. So will you be praying for God to do a great work Sunday evening, you know, two Sundays down the road, April 21, during our One Night here at First Baptist. All right, we are in chapter 10, and this can be a complicated, complex, confusing, whatever C word you want to use, chapter to read and understand. In fact, you can get lost in the weeds very, very easily. Get lost in all the details. But just by way of summation, the big picture in this chapter, and then the application to us. The big picture is the idea of being a witness, especially to lost people, and how participating in activities that could be considered demonic or evil or sinful hurts that witness among the lost. Now, the Apostle Paul ended chapter 9, and we spent most of our time yesterday talking about Paul's apostleship and paying pastors and so on. But at the end of that chapter, he talked about how he worked differently in different contexts to win people to Jesus, that there's a cultural component to evangelism. And we've known that for forever. I mean, when missionaries travel to a different nation, they don't do things there exactly the way we do them here, because the culture is different. Cultural context for evangelism. You don't change the gospel. You don't do anything demonic or sinful, but you work within the context of that culture. Well, in America, culture is always changing. And so how do you work, do ministry evangelism in the context of our changing culture? That's sometimes, you know, a challenge, because some people want to hold on to the culture of 70 years ago and want to do church and ministry the way it was done 70 years ago, whether it works in this context, today's culture, or not. Paul's addressing those kind of issues in this particular chapter. And he begins this chapter but by going back to the Old Testament and the disobedience of the Hebrew people and the judgment of God that came on them because of that. He's making the point that even though you have to do ministry within the context of your culture, that's not an excuse to sin. It's not an excuse just to do whatever you want. Yes, your methods and stuff, you look at culture, but you don't allow culture to cause you to change the Word of God or to sin or to disobey God. There's consequences when you do that. And the cultural context they were dealing with, very different than what you and I deal with, is meat that had been sacrificed to an idol, because in Corinth, the temple, they would sacrifice meat, and then that meat would be sold in the open market, or as we, you know, we talked about it back in chapter 8, kind of like a dinner area at the temple where you could eat that meat. And there were other issues, sexual issues, but here he's focused on meat that had been sacrificed to these pagan idols, and whether or not a Christian could go and buy that meat and then eat it, or sit at that dining area and eat that meat, so to speak. And what he said back in chapter 8 is you need to be careful about what you do in public if it offends weaker brothers. Okay, here he's talking about what it might do or not do to your witness among lost people. So pay attention to that. And I want us to focus for just a moment in chapter 10 on verses 27 to 33. Let's read those together. He says, if one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, so you go to a lost person's house, eat anything that is set before you, okay, without asking questions for conscience sake. You remember even Jesus said, it's not what goes into the person that defiles him, but what comes out. It's not the food or you eat and so on, but rather it's what comes out of your heart, the decisions you make and the way you live. And back in chapter 8, Paul said, meat sacrificed to idols, you can eat it. You have to be careful publicly sometimes if it offends a weaker brother. And so he's making the same point. If an unbeliever, a lost person invites you to their house, well, go. And if they put something before you, eat it. But in verse 28, if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. So he says, if they say, by the way, I offered this to the idol, then don't eat it. Not for your own sake, but for their sake, because if you do that, if you eat it, it might be saying to them that idol worship is okay. The meat is not the issue. The issue is that you eating that meat that they had sacrificed to an idol, if you do that, you might unintentionally be saying to them, well, it's okay to go and offer meat as a sacrifice to idols. He said in verse 29, I mean not your own conscience, okay? It's not yours. Because for you, there's nothing sinful about that meat. He says in verse 29, but the other man's, the conscience of the lost person, your witness to that lost person. So don't abuse your freedom to eat the meat, because there's nothing wrong with the meat if it causes that lost person to stumble, so to speak. And that's the argument that he is making here. And so it goes back similar to chapter 8. It's this balance of, yes, there's nothing wrong with that meat, but you have to be wise when and when not to eat it. Because does it discourage a brother who's not as mature in the faith? Or does it hurt your witness to someone who is lost? And you just have to let context help you figure that out. And that's really what he is saying here today. But he does make the point in verse 20, and this is really important, that when the Gentiles, the pagans, sacrifice to idols, they're actually sacrificing to demons, whether or not they know it. It's demonic activity. And so be aware of that. What's interesting to me is that a lot of times in our church conflicts, you know, in the Christian world, things we argue about and preferences, they are cultural issues. They are not demonic issues. I mean, the arguments over the years about should you wear a suit and tie to worship or not, that's not a demonic issue. That's a cultural issue. And, you know, the culture's changed dramatically. It's not a sin or not a sin. It's not a demonic or not demonic. It's just, what's the context of the culture? You know, what technology we use in worship. It's not demonic. It's just a matter of preference. It's a cultural issue. And so on. I think where some of the demonic stuff comes in sometimes is how the culture has changed so that people are pulled away, families are pulled away from worship and from the Lord's Day because the culture is creating all kinds of enticements to keep people out of church. Well, I think there can be some demonic influence behind that. I think some of the things that happens in the universities, there can be some demonic activity behind that. And on and on we could go. But there's a difference between demonic activity and just preferences and cultural preferences. And we have to be able to work through that and understand the differences. Genres of music when it comes to worship. That's not demonic. I know some people say it is, but it's not. It's just preferences. So be careful. But care about rather than worrying about those kind of cultural issues, pay more attention to what kind of witness are you being to lost people. For instance, let me just preach a moment. You're upset about something at church. You're upset with another believer, and you go out to lunch after church on Sunday at a restaurant. You're sitting there eating. People are around you. You don't know if they're saved are lost. You don't know if they go to church or not. And you're sitting there in a public place having a conversation about things you don't like at your church, things you don't like about your pastor, things you don't like about that person at the church. Wake up! Wake up! Have you given any thought? Any thought to the kind of witness you are being to the people sitting around you? Now that's demonic, not cultural. And with that proclamation, I'll see you Sunday in church and Monday with another devotional.